Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of our hour by Pastor Jeff Evans. He is the pastor of New Hope Community Church in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Jeff is a very dear friend and colleague of mine, a fellow Welsh-blooded man, a fellow author, and for today, a man who joins me on this broadcast. Jeff, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
Well, you are welcome very much. Jeff is a fine pastor. He is an author. He is just a man in whom there's this precious confluence of both laughter on the one hand and prayer on the other. I've seen him in action. Jeff, I'm deeply touched you'd care to join us today. I'd like to start, please. It's somewhat formulaic, but it works like a charm, and every opening salvo is different. Share with our audience, please, something about yourself, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, how you found yourself in pastoral ministry.
Well, ever since I was young, I had a calling on my heart to become a pastor. Growing up, I can't remember doing anything else or wanting to do anything else except to be a pastor, the minister of the gospel. And I pursued that, went to high school, went to college, and then seminary. And then I became a pastor, an ordained pastor, a Baptist pastor, something that I've always wanted to do. And with that, I took my first church in a little town called Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. And from there, lived there for 5 years and moved to Media, Pennsylvania. And after a couple of years there, I merged two churches, Middletown Baptist Church and Belmont Baptist Church in Broomall. And now we reside at Broomall, at New Hope Christian Church in Broomall, Pennsylvania. But always wanted to be a pastor and can't think of doing anything else.
Yeah, a similar thing with me. I mean, certainly as a little boy, I would gladly have been first baseman for the Boston Red Sox. I would gladly have been a high school history teacher. I would gladly have done radio from an early age. I've been a radio man all my life. But when I was very little, and I couldn't have explained to you why, I wanted to be a minister, a Christian minister.
Understanding.
But it would take about 10 years, but the Lord would come into my life. I became a Christian as a teenage boy, and suddenly it all began to make sense. Clarity came forth. I could begin to tell you why I wanted to be a pastor. So tell us also about your encounter with Jesus Christ through this time.
Well, I've always had a calling. Jesus just calling me to be a pastor, and I've always accepted that call, and I really never doubted it. But there's events that happen in one's life that kind of brought me a little deeper and a little closer to Jesus. And that just happened a few years ago with my wife's illness. And it just became a deeper and a greater calling that he put upon my life and my wife's life.
Well, tell us, please, without asking for details you'd rather keep to yourself, but it just in the main, what was happening?
A few years ago, I found a spot on me, and I went to my GP. He told me not to worry about it. I said, okay, I won't worry about it. But it was remained there, and it stayed there until my wife finally said, I don't like it. I want you to get it removed. So I went back to my GP, and he said, you know, Mr. Evans, I don't think there's anything there. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong. I think it'll just fall off at some point in time. I said, well, it's been a year and a half and my wife doesn't like it. I want it removed. And I said, well, the GP said, I can't do it here. I'm going to have to send you to a dermatologist. I went to a dermatologist and he took one look at that spot and I just knew that there was something wrong. And he removed it. He tested it. And it came back that I was diagnosed with cancer, a malignant melanoma, a level 4 out of 5 levels. And from then, he sent me to the pigmented lesion clinic at Hupp, the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. And there at HUP, they did surgery. They did a central lymph node, removed some lymph nodes. They did more testing, more x-rays, more scans. And for 6 months, I was going down to HUP on a regular basis for testing and examinations on this malignant melanoma. But that was just the beginning, because 3 months after I was diagnosed with malignant melanoma, my wife was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And for 9 months after she was diagnosed, she had to go through chemotherapy treatments every 3 weeks for 9 months. And at that time, our children, we have five, the youngest was two and the oldest was 10. Just starting a family and finding out that your wife has cancer and you have cancer and your children are young, it was kind of a spiritual eye-opening experience for us. And from there, I just remember God telling me over and over again, said, "Jeff, there's so much more to me than what you've learned and what you've experienced. Just stay open." And from that point on, I've stayed open for the workings of Jesus in my life. And because of that staying open, things have happened and things have occurred in my life.
You know, it's interesting, Jeff, the Lord, I'm using my language now, whispering in your ear to stay open. I recall one morning in January of 2018, I was lying in bed. Not something I often did, but this morning I just happened to linger a bit. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. You know, Spirit speaking to Spirit. We're not hearing a voice coming out of clouds. That's a caricature.
Right.
But the voice spoke to me, and I knew it was God. "You will look to me for everything you need." And I didn't really know what that meant in any meaningful or detailed sense. I would come to know, down to this present day, 7.5 years later, I would have some difficulties erupt in my church that would affect us and me financially. I found that I needed life-threatening cardiac surgery at the Mayo Clinic. My wife would take gravely ill and ultimately be taken from us. We took a massive hit at the beginning of this year with a couple of deaths and a couple of very amicable departures. But, you know, when people have to relocate or that kind of thing. And our church just got hammered.
Right.
And at every turn, God's hand was upon me. At every turn, his hand was upon our church. And he takes care of us. But as he takes care of us, he sees us through, and I know you adhere to this, he does so for a reason greater than simply our own welfare. He encompasses our welfare. He loves us dearly. He numbers the hairs of our heads as he does the sparrow. But he has a purpose for us. And you have, with that sense of calling, you have a sense of purpose. And tell us what that entails in practical measure.
Well, when we were going through all this, myself and my wife, three things really happened to us. And three things that really God led us into doing and really into becoming. And Brad, I say this, you know, kind of jocularity, but also very seriously. The first thing that happened is that I became a Bapticostal.
Yes.
And, you know, being a Baptist, you know, we sometimes question the spiritual gifts. I never believed that the spiritual gifts ceased to exist, but I never pursued them. But after this all happened and God told me to stay open, I started pursuing more of the spiritual gifts. And particularly, I started pursuing the gift of healing, because my wife and myself believed, you know, we were healed by the power of Almighty God. You know, for years now, we've been clean. We've been clear of any type of cancer, and we've been walking in divine health. And one of the goals is, we want to bring that knowledge and we want to bring that healing and the manifestation of healing to anybody we encounter, to anybody who is open to it. We just want to bring that to them.
Now, may I ask you on the issue of healing, and we have about a half a minute, Jeff, before we take a break. But on the issue of healing, and perhaps you'll need to address it on the other end of the commercial break, but for some, healing will come by way of divine intervention in the immediate. For others, it will play out gradually over time. For some, it may be an act of divine fiat. For others, perhaps God working through the medical profession. I think that you are open to all of the above.
Yes.
But on the other end of the commercial break, I'd like you to address this, okay?
Okay.
So your first of three points relates to healing. Let's pick up on it on the other end. This is Brad Lacey and Pastor Jeff Evans of New Hope Community Church in Broomall. We return with another round of the great message momentarily. Thank you. Brad Lacey, Pastor Jeff Evans of New Hope Community Church in Broomall, PA, returning for a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Pastor Jeffrey, you were sharing with us concerning healing, and I'd love for you to pick up with where we left off and talk with us about how God works healing in our lives.
Well, one of the things in the areas, I believe in physical healing, that God wants us healed. For he says in Exodus, I am a God that heals you. And I believe, and that's what we pray for, is for physical healing. But I believe there's also spiritual healing. You know, people have moved away from God, and I think spiritual healing comes when they move closer and closer to God. And I think that's what, you know, God has been drawing me ever since this illness, my wife's illness, more of a spiritual healing, that he's just drawing us closer and closer to him. And with the healing, and I agree with you, you know, sometimes healing is instantaneously, and sometimes it takes over a period of time. And I think it takes over a period of time because, personally with me, it took over a period of time. Because I think I needed to learn it, to research it, and just to study it, to have a deeper understanding of it. Because I believe if it came instantaneous, I would have forgotten about it very quickly.
Yeah.
But now that it came over time, and it wasn't instantaneous, I was reading. I was learning. I was listening to everything and anything, and I was reading anything and everything to learn more and more about it.
Well, I think it's very important that we understand that God is always looking, if I may use the language a little out of the normal grammatical mode, God is always looking to grow us, and he's always looking to deepen us. And I would argue, perhaps I'm being anal, that growing in Christ and deepening in Christ are two separate, albeit complementary, phenomena.
Mm.
So he's always looking. So if again, he may choose to heal in the immediate, and that will be to his glory. But what have we gained beyond merely the physical dimension? And I'm not minimizing that. I remember when I interviewed my beautiful wife 3.5 years ago, when she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she wanted nothing. She believed in physical healing. The truth is that for reasons germane to God's purpose, her work was done on this planet, and he was taking her home. But she also believed that she had something to learn, and she had growth to experience through that whole process and ordeal. And I think sometimes that's minimized or lost sight of. I mean, God disciplines those he loves.
Right.
He's also going to utilize affliction for his purpose in our lives as well. I don't think these are antithetical issues, using the illness on the one and healing us of it on the other. I suspect you would agree with that.
Right. And when Romans tells us, you know, God works for the good in any situation and circumstance for those that love him. And I believe, you know, some way, somehow, and in different ways that God works for the good in people's lives. Maybe we don't understand it, but if we just keep being drawn to him, he will open our eyes to how God is continuing to work in our lives.
I hold on.
Joseph, you remember the Old Testament story of Joseph? He told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
I love that text. I've experienced it within multiple contexts, let me put it that way, as a Christian and as a pastor. I love that text. Let me ask you, Jeff, and we're going to talk a little later about what are called the healing rooms. It's a specialized ministry. But just in the immediate, how do you respond as a Baptist-costal? And I'm more or less in that framework as well. I'm also touched deeply by the Roman Catholic tradition on a number of levels as well. But that being said, you will hear from some, I'll call them hardcore Pentecostals, and I'm speaking with respect. I don't mean this in any disrespectful way. But sometimes when you're not well, you're wrestling with an affliction, if you're not healed, they will tell you that you don't have enough faith. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think in some areas, if you read the Bible, you know, Jesus could only do a few miracles because of the people's lack of faith. But I know my situation and circumstance. One of the things we do in our healing rooms is we try to increase people's faith because we just think it's so important that they truly believe that God can work in them and work through them. That we're not deists, that we believe God is still working in our lives and that our temple, our bodies are temples of Almighty God. And one of the goals of my ministry and of the healing rooms is just to continue to increase and work on people's faith, that it may grow and they may continue to walk in the Spirit.
Well, you're doing something a little different than what I've encountered. Because when I've heard people say you don't have enough faith, it's kind of a criticism. You're not criticizing the individual. You're trying to come alongside of them and help them grow and deepen in their faith. That's different from what I call a dump. You're not being healed. You're not dumping on people. You're trying to build them up.
Exactly. And all the books that I've read on healing and the spiritual gifts, I don't think I've ever heard or read an instance where they came out and say, it's your lack of faith. You have no faith. I've never experienced that or had somebody say that to me or even read that. I never had that experience because, you know, I remember reading books that there are roadblocks to healing. The roadblocks to physical and spiritual healing that we all encounter and we encounter in our ministry, you know, unconfessed sins, unforgiveness. Some people just cannot forgive others for what they have done to them. And that just closes the door for healing and for spiritual growth.
I would also add another category. Yeah, I'd add another category, and this plays in and out of sin. It can be lent to a sinful disposition, or it doesn't have to be. But people who have been badly hurt in life,
right?
They're now fearful or they don't trust. And that's not to dump on them, but just a clinical assessment that it becomes a kind of syndrome. You know, and syndromes are never good.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're overtly sinning, but there's still something that's impeding your capacity to trust in God. And it's your dealings with fellow humans and your experiences in life. You know, we have to understand that God comes in from the outside and he intervenes on our behalf. It can take years for people to understand this. Ultimately, Jeff, too, what is the unpardonable sin of the Holy Spirit? It's the lack of believing in him.
Exactly.
And I don't mean intellectually, but at the deepest core of who you are, you're putting all of your trust in him and lending your life to him. The refusal to do that is the unpardonable sin. But Jeff, the unpardonable sin number two is to go past our time. We have another break before us. Brad Lacey, Pastor Jeff Evans, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey, Pastor Jeff Evans of the New Hope Community Church in Broomall, PA. We return for a third round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Jeffrey, we've been talking about healing. This is one of the three lessons of which you've spoken that you have learned. What's the second lesson?
Well, one of the things that happened to my wife and I is we went down to a healing rooms in Wilmington, Delaware, the healing rooms of Wilmington, Delaware, to get prayed over. Somebody suggested that we go and invited us to go, and we went. And soon as we walked out of the healing rooms, I turned to my wife, and my wife turned to me and said, "We have to open one of these in Delaware County." And after a while, after being trained in healing, we opened the healing rooms of Delaware County. My wife, myself, and a friend of ours, we opened the healing rooms of Delaware County. And we are associated with the International Association of Healing Rooms out of Spokane, Washington, from a gentleman called Cal Pearson, originally from John G. Lake, the healing rooms. And we are a member of the healing rooms. It was just a direction that we felt that God wanted us to go in. And ever since, we're open on Monday nights. The walk-ins, the people that just come in off the street who are looking for physical healing.
Do you have much of a response to that opportunity?
Up and down.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, we had two people. The other week, we had one person. And then 3 weeks ago, we had six people. Yeah. That's the way it's been since we've opened. 1 week, one person. 1 week, maybe nobody. Then the next week, five or six people will show up for healing as the Spirit leads.
Well, the important thing at your end is that you are ready and prepared to receive any and all.
Correct. And we have four teams of different people who are ready to pray for people whenever they come in.
You know, I'm always intrigued, Jeff, pastor to pastor. We're all given a different, albeit complementary, trust, if you will, from God. God entrusts to us some aspect of ministry for you. And this is not exclusive. There are other aspects to your ministry, of course, but you've always accented the ministry of prayer and healing. For myself, it has been almost from day one a putting forth of the Word of God, whether homiletically from a pulpit, by way of a radio microphone, by way of the material we provide through the Philadelphia Bible Society. Many of my one-on-one encounters as I go about my day, it's the Word of God. You and I were together with a wonderful woman, I won't mention her name over the airwaves, just as a discretionary thing, but for, oh my goodness, decades upon decades of her life and service, her accent has been upon prayer over and for the city of Philadelphia. And this woman has literally put herself in the front lines over the course of many decades of that kind of prayer. So healing clearly has been of incalculable import to your ministry. But what are these other lessons that you've learned as well?
One of the, like I said before, is just to stay open to the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And where he wants to take us and where we want to go. And like I said, one of the lessons in the leading was to merge two churches together. And, you know, and we merged two churches together who just wanted to come. And the goal was to reach more people for Jesus Christ. But I guess the other leading was 2 years ago, I took a sabbatical. My church, you know, gave me the opportunity to take some time off and to do something that God put upon my heart, and that was to go across country with a friend on a motorcycle and ride cross country on a motorcycle. 8,500 miles across country.
8,000 would be going out and coming back, I would assume.
That's going out and coming back. We went south and came back north.
How many states?
I would say 36.
Okay.
36 states. And one of the things with that is that God put it upon my heart with this experience going across country on a motorcycle, and with my healing, God put it upon my heart to write a book. And when I got back, I sat down and I finally wrote a book, and it's called Going on an Adventure on a Motorcycle Across Country and with God Through Healing. And I can't believe I wrote a book. But God, when God tells you to do something, I try to follow along and be obedient. And God.
Oh, I've had a similar pulling upon my own heart and mind in that same vein. Let me ask you, we're going to delve into the book, but as you were traveling, so this preparatory to the manufacture of the book, as you were traveling across country, what did you learn of the Lord and what did you learn of yourself in the Lord?
To trust. As I said in the book, I really, before this, I never really went far on a bike. I would just go around town riding on a bike, and I would just maybe go over to New Jersey on the bike and back. I really never went over 150 miles at one time. And I finally said to myself, and God said to me, he goes, well, you're going to need a little bit more time on a bike to really go cross country. So I started doing longer trips. And then I finally found somebody to go with me. And I tried, my wife would not let me go alone across country. So I finally found a friend who rides a motorcycle, more experienced than I am. And we decided, we planned it out, and we went. But it took a lot of trust, because you never know what's going to happen across country. You know, the weather, the roads, you just never know what's going to take place. So it really had to put my trust to really do it. And then going throughout the country, just trusting that God would be with you and will watch over you.
Yes. Well, I'm curious, how did you spend the nights? Did you find hotels? How did that play out?
Well, we played out, and the plan was to camp.
Okay.
It was to camp, and we brought tents and sleeping bags. But in all honesty, we hit a lot of rain. And we were planning to travel about 250 miles a day. We ended up traveling 320 miles a day. There's just certain places in this country that you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing around.
Yeah.
So we just kept on going until we found something. And being older, and my friend was older, the last thing he wanted to do after a long ride in the rain was to set up a camp. So we camped a couple days. We mostly stayed in hotels.
You know, I didn't do 36 states. My wife and I took a drive out to Colorado and back. I think we had covered 17 or 18. But I do remember we were in the middle of the cornfields of Nebraska, and those play out for a long time. And at one point, it was in the Saturday afternoon, gorgeous day, bright blue sky, but we've been surrounded by corn stalks for like the last 36 hours, you know? And out of nowhere, my wife broke down in tears. And I say this sweetly of her. And she just cried out, are we ever going to get through this? You know? And everything in me wanted to say to her, sweetheart, I tried to tell you. And everything in me got the best of me, and I said that to her.
it was an eye-opening experience. We were on a road in Nevada. It was called Route 50 in Nevada. And for miles and miles, we did not see anybody. We did not see a car, a person, or even a house for miles and miles. And I'm thinking, this has to be the the loneliest road in America. And when we finally stopped somewhere, we got a little sticker, and it's actually called the loneliest road in America, Route 50. Yes.
Really?
I mean, the only thing we saw every now and then was a steer, because the West has a lot of cattle and cattle ranching.
Yes, they do. You know, I was speaking of the West, and then we're going to be taking a break. I remember Peggy and I hitting the northwestern quadrant of South Dakota, and that's where we began to see those famous, what do they call them, dust balls that kind of bounced around. And that was the first time I actually felt I was now in the West over how many years of life. We saw those dust balls bouncing around, and we were on the eastern side of Wyoming for maybe one day. But I remember God was with us on that trip as well. It had its challenges, but God is faithful. And Brother Jeff, we're going to talk about your book on the other end of the divide. Brad Lacy, Pastor Jeff Evans, we return for a final round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacy and Pastor Jeff Evans of New Hope Christian Church in Broomall, PA. We return for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Jeff, I do ask your forbearance. I've been saying New Hope Community. It is technically and more properly New Hope Christian Church. And you've been pastoring there for how long now as a merger?
12 years.
12 years.
We merged in 2013.
And prior to that, how many years were you at Middleton Baptist?
19.
So, all right, you're looking at 31 years. I'll be completing my 38th year here in Conshohocken at Christmas time. So we're contemporaries, more or less, in that respect. We've both taken the time and been led of God to write books. So tell us about your book. You spent 8,000 miles plus on the road on a motorcycle. You came home and you began to write and ultimately produce and manufacture a book. Tell us about it.
The book is about my adventure with God through cancer and what I believe was my and my wife's healing of cancer. But it's also about my adventure going across country on my motorcycle trip and what we experienced there. And God put it upon my heart that each chapter will include, it parallels my experience on my adventure with God through cancer, but also each chapter will include my adventure on a motorcycle trip. So each chapter is broken with the first section dealing with the trip, and the second part of the chapter is dealing with my adventure with God through healing.
And I have no doubt it is a worthy read. I need to get a hold of a copy, and I will. You shared yesterday at our gathering, we had Joy in the City luncheon number 3. We had some 50 or so servants of the kingdom from all around Philadelphia. And you offered us a beautiful 3-minute encapsulation of your story. Where does one access the volume? How can one get a hold of it?
Well, you can go through Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or iTunes to purchase one.
Okay, and the title again is?
Going on an Adventure on a Motorcycle Cross.
Going on?
On an Adventure.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Going on an Adventure on a Motorcycle Cross Country and with God through healing.
I like it. I love the sound of it. And I love the substance of it to the extent that you've been sharing. Did you enjoy writing it, Jeff?
You know, I did. I did, because I'm not much of a writer. And I can't believe I wrote a book. But I just experienced God kind of leading me. He said, Jeff, talk about this. Now, Jeff, talk about this. Jeff, here's the heading for this chapter. And here's the heading for this chapter. And I did. It was exciting to see where I was going and what direction I was going in.
You know, it's interesting. I'm going back now about 25 years, roughly. I was driving one glorious spring day through what they call the mountains of Connecticut, Route 84. It takes you from Hartford, Connecticut to the Mass Turnpike. And it's a lovely strip of road, hills, small hills, you know, and it's always my favorite part of the drive north to Boston. And I'm in the middle of this lovely thoroughfare on a glorious day, and three words drop into my lap as I'm driving. They came out of nowhere. Breathe, blossom, build. And these words would not leave me. I couldn't shake them for the next several months. And over time, I began to reflect upon them prayerfully. And over time, I began to utilize them and came to understand that they were the framework within which I do my ministry. And so I developed thesis sentences. So the first would be, breathe the beautiful fragrance of your Heavenly Father's holy and saving love. That speaks to our personal encounter with Him. The second thesis would be, blossom in the grace and truth of Jesus Christ by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. That speaks to the utilization of the tools of our trade, prayer, Bible study, fellowship, service. And the third being, build or be built in His name, unto His purpose for His glory. It speaks to our purpose and witness. And ultimately, a book came forth of that. So I'm always intrigued by how an author, you know, the ingredients, if you will, by which that book is manufactured. Are you looking to write a new one, having had such a pleasant and fruitful experience with the first?
Everybody asked me that question, and I said, God's going to have to put it upon my heart.
Yes.
As of yet, He hasn't done that. Well, but it's only been since August since I wrote this one, so.
Well, this may be, I mean, this may prove to be your magnum opus. What else is there to write after that, you know? Well, you're a preacher, so we always have the Word of God to draw upon. Yeah, it's funny. I started to put a collection of essays together at the beginning of the year, a series of devotional essays through the topic of spiritual armor, as taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I just got stonewalled and waylaid. Nothing would come. Nothing. So I just set it aside. And I've noticed my schedule's beginning to open up now after a very lengthy season of nonstop activity. It's been opening up as of late. And out of nowhere, I'm getting this urging. It's time to go back to the armor of God. Whether I can produce this collection before the year is out, I'm going to certainly get started all over again. But you have to take your cue from the Holy Spirit. You and I are servants of Christ.
Right.
We can have all the good ideas in the world, but if we're not taking our cues from the one who is the source of wisdom, then it's going to be an act of folly, no matter how wise and good we think it is. Where are you right now in ministry, Pastor Jeff? What's going on? How is God leading you right now?
Just to continue preaching the word. This past summer is probably one of the best summers we've had, and I've had in ministry. It just seems that people are looking for something, and we've had a lot of visitors that have returned to become active within the church, and just hoping to continue to lead them in their spiritual growth and their spiritual adventure with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that's my goal, is I had an adventure. I want other people to have an adventure with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, indeed. I can attest, having visited your church and also having had the privilege of sharing the word from your pulpit, so two visits, if you will, you have a fine church. It's a very warm and hospitable body. It's an attractive and welcoming physical environment. You're right on the main thoroughfare of 320. And they have a fine pastor. You and I have known each other now, I'm thinking, at least 15 years. And,
maybe more. Time goes by fast.
Well, time flies. And Jeff, let's be honest, I don't bring just anybody on this broadcast, okay? You know, and the thing that I've always loved about you, and I'll give you like a 15-second response because we're out of time. You've always brought both laughter and prayer to the table. And I don't always find those working in tandem. 15, 20 seconds response, and then we have to close.
I just remember somebody asked me, what is your goal for the worship service? And I remember saying, I want the worship service to be as meaningful and enjoyable as possible. I want people to come to church learning and finding the Holy Spirit and feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. And with that comes in being enjoyed by the Holy Spirit, enjoying the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And yesterday at the gathering, so many people were telling me they were experiencing a joyful quality. And I know you want that to play out in your body as I do in mine. Praise God. Jeff, we must close up. Brad Lacey, thanks for joining us, Jeff. Pastor Jeff, Brad Lacey, Pastor Jeff Evans, we bid you God's grace and blessing. Thanks for listening.